I am Plata on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca as part of the Fire Hall Arts Center's 35th anniversary season. They are staging the award-winning production Chelsea Hotel, The Songs of Leonard Cohen. The show has been popular here and throughout Canada when it's toured. In the show, a writer checks into New York's Chelsea Hotel and is haunted by memories of his tumultuous love life. Underscored by the music and lyrics of Leonard Cohen, audiences have loved what the show says about love, love loss, requited and unrequited. Joining me now is Benjamin Elliott. He is a rising star in the music and theater community here in Vancouver. He is a graduate of Bishop's University and Studio 58 and is the only performer who has done all of the shows of this production over the past 6 years. He has been involved in numerous productions, including East Van Panto, and will be the musical director at Bard on the Beach later this year. Chelsea Hotel will be at the Fire Hall Arts Center, 280 East Cordova, the 17th of March through to the 21st of April. Visit firehallartscenter.ca for tickets and information. Please welcome to the Plata Online program, Ben Elliott. Mr. Elliott, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So how did you get involved 6 years ago? Was it 6 years ago? I guess six or so years ago when Chelsea Hotel was first staged. How did you get involved with the production?
The creator, Tracy Power, saw me at theater school in a musical and contacted my agent at the time and asked if I would audition. Mm-hmm. So I did, and I got the part.
Yeah, and so from my understanding is that of the in the last 6 years, the various productions throughout the country, you've done them all. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It's over 250 performances, I understand.
Wow, I didn't know that. But yes, yeah, definitely. I've done every single one. We've been everywhere from starting here in Vancouver all the way up to Fort McMurray and out to Toronto, and it's been a ride.
Yeah, it was a big hit here, and I understand across the country it sold well as well, right? It was so sold out houses, right?
Cohen fans everywhere. Yeah. I think people really get a kick out of hearing his music done differently. So that's one of the benefits of doing music by him. People are used to hearing different versions.
What experience did you have before this show with Leonard Cohen's music?
I didn't really like him that much. The first time I heard Leonard Cohen was in the back seat of a car as I like on the way to a scout trip. I was like 9 or 10. The dad of the guy driving us was just blasting. First We Take Manhattan, and I was really confused, and I didn't think it was good music at all. Yeah. I really fell in love with him over the course of the 240 odd shows, and realizing he's got, depth and cool musical instincts.
Yeah, and you must have realized, too, over the last 6 years, because in that time Cohen died, just what this music has meant to this country. And, it's music that, as you said, you didn't particularly enjoy growing up, neither did I. But when you look at the impact of it, not just in his lifetime, but beyond, this is significant music that people will be listening to for years and years and years.
True. I don't know. I think one thing is that everybody's got a real personal connection to Leonard Cohen. That's kind of one of the universal things. Everybody attributes a lot of meaning to his music because I think it's so evocative. Mm-hmm. And also, it's huge in my, I'm 34, mm-hmm. and my parents, that generation, he was there when they were 20 and formative years, but the music holds up so that they can revisit it later in life and still draw meaning from it.
Yeah, and so for you, what's that been like? I'm slightly older than you are, 35. Did that change any perspective? Being close to this music, did it change any perspective you might have given you ideas, say, about life, about love even?
Yeah. Well, starting out 6 years ago, it's not that long ago, but I'm still a different person with different experiences, and certain lyrics resonate a different way. further on down your life. So, yeah, I mean, I can't think of a specific example, but I know that during the show some nights I'd be surprised or inspired by a lyric that hadn't really struck me before, or a different meaning all of a sudden after, you know, going through Love Had, Love Lost. He covers all the deep emotions and the deep experiences that we all have in it. There's so many layers. He's kind of like Shakespeare in that sense. There's no real end to discovering what he has, what's in his tunes and his poetry.
Audience members and critics have written about just how moved they are by this show and how much they enjoyed it. I'm sure you're hearing a lot of stuff from people about what this show in particular has meant to them, especially in this, as I said, in this time that since he's died, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think when he did pass, there was actually a lot of people I know called the Fire Hall and were asking when it would come back, because they'd love. It's a great gateway back into Cohen's work. So, yeah, I've kind of forgotten the question though, Joe.
and it's also a good time to put this on, especially in this 35th anniversary season.
Yeah.
Because it did, when it first played, it meant a great deal to the audiences of the Fire Hall, right?
Right. It sure did. Yeah. Sure did. Yeah, people had no idea what to expect with this show. And it's a show that requires you to come along the journey with us. Really, you gotta pay attention.
Now, we're all familiar with Cohen's music, and if, for people listening to us who aren't, they should go to YouTube and listen to it, or go to iTunes and download it there. So what would you describe, or how would you describe what people will see or hear at the Fire Hall during this run? I mean, there's six of you, six artists, and I was saying you all play musical instruments, is that right?
That's right, yeah. There's no backing tracks. It's all live off the floor. It's all multi-talented artists out there playing real instruments and singing live. You're going to hear all the tunes that you recognize. It's kind of, some are mashed up. You go like directly from one tune to another. You even have certain motifs from one tune playing over top of the other. Extremely rich harmonies, and it's a love story. I mean, why? Of course it is, right? It's Leonard Cohen, so. And it's a little saucy. It's sexy. It's fun. It's touching. And I think most of all, it's surprising. I think, people really get surprised at how connected they feel to the story and to Leonard Cohen.
So I'll be going to New York shortly. I know, in a couple of months or so.
I'm jealous.
And, I will be staying, I don't know how close it is to the actual Chelsea Hotel, but I'll be visiting in the area. Is it something that I have to go see?
Sure. I mean, it's a pretty hallowed place. It's almost like a mecca for some people, but I know that it's changed a lot, and there's been some renovations. Patti Smith wrote an amazing novel.
Oh, God, those books of hers, man, those are beautiful books.
Where she recounts her, I can't remember the name of the book, but anyway, she talks about living in the Chelsea Hotel. And for me, that exceeds any experience I think I'd have walking across the street from it or something like that.
Yeah, it's taken on this mythic place in our culture, hasn't it? I mean, you think of Smith's books, Just Kids and M Train, and then you think of Cohen and I mean, those are just two artists. I mean, there's a whole multitude of people who've gone through.
Yeah, everyone was there. Everyone was there.
You're just after this wraps up the Chelsea Hotel production. You're going to be taking on a role at Bard on the Beach as its musical director. Is that correct?
As musical director, and I'll be acting in the shows as well on the main stage. Yeah.
And so, for you growing up, what was first? Was it the acting or was it the music, say?
Oh, man, they're pretty much intertwined. It was more just any excuse I had to perform. I was encouraged by my folks, and I also had three other siblings to compete with. So for me, I think music and acting was a way to set myself apart. And, but yeah, I don't, like, I've always played the piano. I can't remember when I had it. Mm. So there's that. But I've always, like, really, I think it was on my first birthday, I put my face in my chocolate cake and got a laugh. That might have been my first laugh. So they're both early on.
It's addictive, isn't it? The adulation or just, you know, the even applause is I mean, when you're in a theater or something like that and you're watching these performers get it, you want a little bit of it.
Yeah, I think it's connection. You know, it's connection. Yeah. And so when somebody laughs, that's an immediate affirmation that I exist and that I've changed someone in a positive way. So that's how I think about it. Yeah.
You've also created musicals, I understand.
That's right, yeah. In theater school, I wrote my first musical at Studio 58 called The Park. It was about Stanley Park being turned into a parking lot. And me and my collaborator, Anton Lazovetsky, we did The Best Laid Plans, which is an adaptation of a Terry Follis novel.
Uh-huh.
And now we're working with Josh Epstein and Kyle Rideout, two filmmakers here in Vancouver, on an adaptation of Monoceros, a novel by Suzette Mayer. So yeah, but those take years. It's really a like 4 or 5 year commitment to make a good musical. So it's a labor of love, but really rewarding when it works.
Say, you mentioned Best Laid Plans. I didn't happen to catch the production when it was in town. When it was done in town, I should say. Did you work with Fallis at all in the course of writing the musical? I mean, I just remembered when the book came out, I had him on this show.
Oh,
and,
cool.
And so I'm wondering what that, I mean, I enjoyed talking to him a lot. He's just a fascinating, funny guy. Mm. Did you get a chance to work with him at all?
He would come and, I mean, quick answer is no, not really, because he gave us his blessing.
Uh-huh.
He came and saw run through of an early draft. We'd occasionally write him and ask him about character motivation or something like that. Certain details that might exist in his brain, but not on the page, to help us move forward. And but yeah, he just let us do our thing, and then he came and saw it and said he was thrilled.
Yeah.
A lot of people that read the book said that we were pretty faithful to the novel, so that was a nice compliment.
Yeah. Well, when you create musicals as you do, I hate to ask this question, but you know, you answered it whatever way you want. Is there someone in mind that you're wanting to say write like, if you know what I mean?
I want to write like, well, I mean, I want to write from my own voice.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely wish like there's talent out there. Like if I could write lyrics like Stephen Sondheim, that would be pretty amazing.
Oh man, yeah.
Right. So I mean, good artists kind of borrow, kind of steal, but then make it into their own. So no, I mean, usually when I'm writing a musical, my motivation is character. What does the character want? What is this? What is that? And how are they going to say it? What do they sound like? And then I write it, and then I rewrite it, and then I throw it out, and then I rewrite it again.
So when you work with collaborators, you mentioned some of them a moment ago. Do you guys work like, say, great teams of the past, like Rodgers and Hart or Kaufman
sure.
and Hart?
That's the goal. I mean, I think every collaboration is unique, and people bring different things to the table. I know with Anton, he's the guy that I collaborate with the most, we're friends first, and we enjoy each other's company. So collaborate, it doesn't feel like work. And especially when we're writing a comedy, the first goal is to make Anton laugh and then put it on paper and see if that works. But yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't want to collaborate if it wasn't fun, so... I know some collaborations can be really laborious, but produce really good work. So it's all about intention. And,
yeah. You mentioned Studio 58. You didn't grow up here, if I understand. You came from Ontario, is that right?
That's right. Yeah, I grew up in Toronto.
I see. And so you came out here for Studio 58. What was that like? I interviewed someone not too long ago, and they mentioned offhand just how that school in particular, in her case, really worked a breaker. Was that the experience for you?
There's a real, there's a bit of a rumor around that the theater school kind of breaks you down to build you back up. But
yeah.
It's more about it peels back the layers of the onion. You know, some people say if you can't afford therapy, go to theater school. So it really is like that. It's and Studio 58 is a really formative time for me and many actors that I know. It hasn't been for everybody though, too, because there's a certain style there. But yeah, coming in, I'd previously been at Bishop's University in Lenoxville, Quebec, and completed a BA in philosophy. And knew that I didn't want to be a professional philosopher, as it were, and had a calling to go act. So I applied for only one theater school out west because I thought I'd do a lot of surfing and snowboarding while I was at theater school, but that definitely wasn't the case. Learned what it was actually to be an actor and to call yourself an artist at that school. And they've been supportive even now. So.
Yeah.
Really grateful for my time there.
Yeah, what's kept you here in Vancouver? Because a lot of us are talking about just how bloody expensive it is to live here and to work here. And the arts are a different sector altogether in terms of trying to make a living. What's kept you here in Vancouver?
It's been really the work, the community. It's been really supportive. I think I'm lucky in that I have a number of different disciplines in terms of, like, I'm musical direct, I can act, I can play instruments. So many irons in the fire, I think, is one reason. I also love the city. It's made me a little soft in terms of the weather.
Yeah.
Going back to Ontario sometimes, I'm a little shocked at just how cold it is, but I think it's the work.
Yeah. Well, long may it continue, and it's been such a pleasure to talk to you today. I mean, when they said, "Would you like to talk to Ben?" I said, "Absolutely," because I've heard of you, and you're described by not just your publicist as an up and rising talent that I had to talk to you. So I appreciate your time today, and as I say in your business, break a leg with this run of Chelsea Hotel.
Well, thanks so much for the great interview, Joe.
Chelsea Hotel, The Songs of Leonard Cohen, is at the Fire Hall Arts Center the 17th of March through to the 21st of April. Ben Elliott, one of its stars, joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata.